With all the economic challenges South Africa's faced with, including the latest bout of load shedding, we caught up with Peter Attard-Omoltato. He's an analyst at Intellidex. Peter, at one level, the Eskom crisis was a financial debt-laden one, but now it appears to be a severe operational crisis, with Eskom having warned the nation at the March 19 press conference that it can't put a time on how long its operational issues will last for. What sort of damage do you think this has done to the perception of South Africa as an investment destination?
Well, I think for investors, it's been a mixed blessing in the sense that the credit risk, the risk of repayment of bonds has been, in effect, totally guaranteed by Treasury, and that's been the message that government has sent to investors. So Eskom as an investment itself is actually looking okay through all this bizarrely. But for the country as a whole, for GDP, for fiscal, for employment, for government bonds, things are not looking very good at all. And I think the real problem here is that countries get into crises, but you need to have a definable way out. And that's what government has not provided yet, and is the real problem that investors, I think, are having here.
Some people are estimating that about 1 billion rand is lost per day when we have stage one load shedding, which speaks to 1,000 megawatts of power being off the grid, 2 billion in relation to stage two load shedding, and so on. What's your view in terms of the cost of load shedding for the economy right now?
So the 1 billion a day number basically comes from Chris Yellen, but I've run my own analysis on it and agree with Chris that this is roughly the right sort of number. Now, it's not an exact number. I think it overestimates probably the impacts for lower stages. It underestimates it for higher stages. But I think it's a good rule of thumb that ultimately is based off what NERSA and Eskom use internally as well. So for me, so far, the economy's probably lost around 0.4 off of growth this year from the load shedding that we've had in February and in March, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's the worry to come. Is, you know, people say, there's sort of uncertainty over if there'll be load shedding in the future. There's not uncertainty. We have Eskom is very clear in their weekly system report there is going to be more load shedding through until the middle of June. And if you start adding that up, you start getting into much scarier scenarios where there basically is no growth for 2019.
So on Thursday, we have the Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee give its decision on interest rates. And when they do that, they make an assessment on the country's growth potential. Given the Eskom crisis and the damage it's causing to productivity levels right now in the economy, what do you think the Reserve Bank will say on the country's growth potential?
I don't think they're necessarily going to change it next week. I think they will wait to see some of the data from February and then maybe make a more dramatic move to cut growth, say, at the May MPC. But they'll certainly be highlighting very, very strong downside risks to growth. But the key thing for the SARB is that they basically view these sorts of shocks as shocks to potential growth as well. So any cut in their current growth forecast is offset by a cut in potential growth, and as such, the output gap doesn't change. And as such, you don't get any particular signal to be cutting interest rates. In fact, I think the SARB views this much more as a real rate risk premium issue and is a reason to keep monetary policy where it is and maybe even tighten it in future as opposed to cutting.
Given Eskom's current inefficiencies, whether it be using non-suitable coal for their power stations, not properly maintaining their power stations, spending exorbitant sums on diesel and so on, did you get a sense from the March 19 press briefing that Eskom and the Department of Public Enterprises have a strategy and the necessary tools in place to begin to address some of the problems?
Well, I've been down in South Africa a lot recently doing deep dives on Eskom specifically, including with investors. And the takeaway was basically that a lot of these operational issues are, in the short to medium term, unsolvable. And that basically comes from the fact, not much to do with engineering even, but it's to do with internal culture, efficiency, the way Eskom fundamentally operates, I think is very stuck and very gummed up. And of course you can solve all these issues in the long run, but in the short to medium run, I don't think with an election coming, the really hard political choices that maybe you would have to do, declaring a state of emergency, maybe, I don't know, changing out leadership of individual power stations, all this sort of stuff, none of this is on the cards at all. And so it is very much a process of simply waiting. And waiting this out.
And then, of course, on the other side as well, you've got the labor unions fighting quite hard and even threatening some strike action in the next few days.
Well, the labor issue is actually very complicated, and I think the problem is that you depend on who you talk to in the unions, you get very different outcomes. So, for instance, DPE will say, but you know, the union's now coming on side. And actually, that is true to some degree, because I think the leadership of COSATU in particular is now more aligned with government. But they actually matter. The people that matter are the shop stewards on the ground within NUM and in NUMSA. And that's where you see, I think, one-upmanship between the unions. That's where you see sort of factional ANC interests at play between the two unions. And I think that is not moving at all, and hence the risk of strike action, the risk of a walkout this March next week, and then possibly the pre-election period is still very, very high, and the impact it can have is still quite worrying.
Yeah. President Cyril Ramaphosa, in his typical statesman style, spoke about how South Africa would overcome load shedding at a Human Rights Day holiday celebration. Do you think that was political bluster, or do you really think he believes this?
Well, this is the number one question the investors are basically asking is does the government actually understand load shedding and understand the way Eskom works? And I think the problem is, you know, what the president said is totally right. Of course you're going to overcome this eventually, but, you know, I think the sort of sense, my big problem is sort of poking around and talking to people in Pretoria and things, there is not enough sense of panic. And what we want to see here is real panic that starts to move, you know, political obstacles and, you know, starts to change things very quickly.
Yeah.
And to take one blockage, for instance, one blockage at the moment is there seems to be a ban on paying large amounts of money, for instance, for American engineering expertise to come in and basically take over maintenance, say, and that's been ruled out for various political reasons, and those sorts of blockages are not being unblocked at the moment, and that would happen if you had some more proper panic inside government.
With the decision to carve Eskom into three, generation, transmission and distribution, but still being publicly owned, although the unions believe this is a prelude to privatization, what difference does this decision make in terms of being able to resolve Eskom's operational and financial problems?
Well, I think unbundling is massively over-egged. It certainly solves some problems. It allows you to have better internal risk capital equity allocations between different silos. It allows in the long term better pricing of risk for bond investors. But at the end of the day, you have to really ask, is in the South African context anything going to change? Mm-hmm. And what I often say to people is, if you take the HR department, for instance, is the HR department of Eskom just going to be split up into three and it doesn't actually change size overall, or is it actually going to grow? And is through this process you're going to build in more inefficiencies? Are there going to be more more opportunities for, you know, corrupt consulting contracts, etc., that sort of thing, to wheedle their way in? And that's where I remain very skeptical about unbundling.
What are the political implications of the current load shedding situation for the ANC? We've had high unemployment, poverty and inequality for years, the scourges that the ANC always says it's fighting, and is still, you know, voted into power nonetheless. Of course, this year, state capture is uppermost in people's mind, but do you think that these latest crises will be any different for the ANC's ability to win elections convincingly?
Well, it should be, but I think the problem is the answer is no. We are not going to see a dramatic shift in vote share on the back of this. If this had happened in the UK, say, you could imagine, you know, a massive 20, you know, percentage point swing against the government, say. Mm. But I think the problem is that the sort of service delivery issue is baked into numbers already in general. That there's a lack of alternatives in many people's minds as well, and so. Put very simply, the answer is no. Not very much changed, I think, politically on the back of this in the short run. Now, of course, in the medium run, that's totally unsustainable. At some point, you would have to have some feedback. I think that particularly comes out, say, in Gauteng more than nationally, maybe this time around.
Yeah.
But no, I think the simple answer is that we won't see a particularly dramatic shift on the back of this.
Hmm. Peter, only Moody's knows what it's, you know, what's under its sleeve for South Africa's sovereign credit rating on March the 29th. But given all we know, what do you think would be appropriate action on its part come Friday?
Well, if you're asking what they should do, I think they should certainly put the country on negative watch. And I think from Moody's own forecast, it's been shocked to the downside significantly in November and at the budget, enough for it to move onto negative watch. But I don't think that's what will happen. I think Moody's is so incredibly risk averse. Taking any forms of long-term decision on potential growth, on long-term fiscal, long-term debt to GDP, on any sort of real critical view of the ESCOM turnaround plan. And so I think nothing will happen next week in terms of the rating. And we'll have no change in outlook or cuts. But actually, absolutely nothing might happen. We may actually have no reports released next week. I think the market would find that highly, highly frustrating. But that may well be the case. Moody's says they don't need to actually release a report. That's an iffy view for investors under EU law. But Moody's doesn't believe they necessarily have to actually release a report next week.
That was Peter Attard-Montalto. He's an analyst at Intellidex.